Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Find Luke 21 this morning. You know, last Sunday we talked about the peace of God, and I just feel like we should continue on talking about that. We talked last Sunday about how peace and faith and peace, you know, faith causes peace in our life. This morning, I want to talk to you about this particular thing, about your intake and peace. What does that mean? Well, it means what you intake into your life will have a direct correlation to the peace of God in your life, you know. We had a couple in the church one time that were having demonic activity in their lives and in their house, and they wanted to meet with Phyllis and I, and so we said, sure, we'll do that. And in the process of just talking with them and finding out what was going on, you know, I found out that they loved horror movies. And they had all this big collection of horror movies in their house. And I said, well, you've got to get rid of those. You can't have peace and watch, you know, some of that stuff is like demonic. And you can't watch that and have peace and not give access to the devil. You got to kick that out. You know what I'm saying? You got to stay off his turf, or he'll get on you, and then you can't get him off till you get off his turf. He's God of this world, and you just need to stay off his turf, and everything will be fine. When I was a kid or younger, one time it was at my cousin's, and they had this farmer had this, you know, cows, and he had a bull in there that was really mean. You know, some bulls are okay, some are ornery. And this was an ornery one, you know. So my cousin, you know, gave me the dare, you know. I'll bet you can't get across that pasture without him getting you. Well, that's all it took. In those days, when I was young, I was crazy. I'm more of a scaredy cat now, but I'd pick up snakes, bugs, you know, all kinds of lizards, everything, you know. None of that bothered me. I would go after groundhogs with a stick, you know. They'd get in their holes, you know, how they had burrowing hole, and I'd jab them with a stick trying to get them out. They'd just growl at me, you know. I didn't realize later on they could have eaten me alive just about, but I just didn't have the fear of that kind of thing in those days. So I did. I got in the, I crawled, got climbed over the fence and took off, and when I stepped over, he looked at me, and he just watched me. And he waited till I took a few steps. This bull's smart. He wants to make sure I'm far enough away I can't get out. And here he came, full blast. I made it. By that much, he was that far away when I got over the fence on the other side of the pasture. But, you know, I got on his turf. And so, you know, we had to tell this couple, you have to get rid of all this stuff. You have to get this out of your house. Because if you don't, then all of us agreeing with you, us rebuking the devil, all that we could do is not going to stop this unless you close the door. Yeah. Jesus said, if the unclean spirit goes out and he comes back and finds the house empty, swept, and garnished, he comes back and brings seven more wicked than himself with him when he comes back. So you have to fill the house. You have to shut the door. You have to do those kind of things. So what I want to talk to you this morning about is that we've got to be watchful what we're intaking into our lives if we're going to have peace. Now, Luke 21, verse 25, Jesus is telling us what's coming on the earth. He said, there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, how many know perplexity means you don't know what to do? Right? You're at a loss. And so we're seeing these things begin to come to pass in our time. And there's a lot of other signs that he talked about, but we're beginning to see these signs come to pass. As a matter of fact, and I've just felt like I need to say something about this because this is a major thing right now. And I'm just going to, you know, just let you know what I believe. And so that, you know, maybe if you're concerned about it, then we can help you there. But right now we're hearing government officials, media, and even preachers talking about, is there aliens among us? Amen. Or do we have, because people are saying things. Now, years ago, we just thought people that said they saw something were kooky. But now we're getting people that are seeing things that are reputable people. But, you know, they're seeing, and you know, I've talked to some people about this. They just dismiss it. But I don't dismiss it because some of the people that have said they've seen things are not kooks. But they've seen, now when I say they've seen things, the only thing we've seen is objects, lights, and movement. Okay? Now, Pastor, do you believe there's life on other planets? Well, I grew up watching Star Trek. So I know about Klingons, giant bunnies, and all the things they ran into out there. Do I believe there's life on another planet? No. What Jesus said that in the last days there would be signs in the heavens. I believe what people are saying, if they are saying something, it's either angelic or it's demonic. Now, we know the demonic brings fear. The angelic does not. All right? So, but I just believe this. And I'm not just, I thought this a long time ago. I thought, you know what? Satan will try to use that to rob people of their faith. He'll try to steal their faith. Like if the Bible didn't tell us about this, what else did it tell us about? But I'm just here to tell you that these are all things. See, even in Luke's gospel there in verse 11, Jesus said that we would see fearful sights and there would be signs signs in the heavens. And so we're going to see things. We're going to see crazy things happen. But, you know, we're not to be afraid. Fear's not of God. Amen. Now, maybe, you know, I know there's people that believe the earth is still flat. I mean, I don't know where you people get this at, but that's okay. It's all right. If you want to believe in the flat earth, just don't sell too far. Because at some point, you're going to fall off. And besides, the Bible says God sits on the circumference of the earth in Isaiah. So God doesn't think it's flat. But it's all right. I don't have a problem with these people. And there's people that believe that there's aliens out there and all that. I don't have a problem with these people. That's fine. Go ahead. I don't believe any of that. I believe what we're seeing today is demonic manifestations of a lot of this is. And we're going to see more things and fearful things. And Jesus said this was coming on the earth. How many are glad that he warned us about it? Yeah. So the Bible's got answers. How many know that? So, and I've got friends that even this little bit suggesting that people are actually seeing something, they, well, you're out of your mind. No, listen, there's some of these, you know, there's some of these people that are reputable that say, you know, we saw this movement, and we know it's not human. It can't be human, not the way it moves. We don't have any technology. I mean, intelligent people, I agree with them, because the spirit world moves at the speed of light, and we have nothing that can keep up with it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man at the speed of light. Bam. And so we don't have anything, never will. It's all in that realm that's beyond mortal man. Amen. But be assured, we're safe. Hallelujah. And one friend of mine told me this. We were having lunch and talking about this. He said, you know, maybe that's what the world's going to say when the rapture of the church takes place. Aliens took the bad people off the planet. Said, well, that sounds right to me. But look what Jesus said. He said in verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So he says men's hearts will fail them for fear, for looking after, some translations say, the expectation. In other words, they've got their focus on this. All this that's coming on the earth, they have their focus on it. And literally, their hearts will fail them for fear. Now, there's two ways that I saw, you can look at this because I've studied this out. Number one, their literal hearts fail them for fear. Literally, heart attacks. Number two, that word fail there means to breathe out. Now, have you ever had some stuff going wrong? Maybe the lawnmower breaks down, the washing machine breaks down, the water heater starts leaking, and your wife tells you all of this in the span of 35 minutes, and you feel like Job. And you just go, anybody ever done that? It means to breathe out. This is what's happening. People are fainting. We've got people that are fainting on their faith, fainting on God, fainting on things they believe would come to pass in their life because of trouble. So we see this, but it comes because you took it in. He went on to say, now I want you to read all of this. We're going to read some more verses here. But are y'all all right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm just checking. You're real quiet here. So look at this. He said, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So we're supposed to, when this stuff starts happening, we should be looking up saying, well, the Lord's about to come. And we see all this mess, you know. I mean, obviously, there's anguish of nations right now. They're perplexed. They're at a loss. They don't know what to do. So we see all that happen. And we see, you know, the tsunami that came, you know, back in 2001, I think it was 2005 maybe, that hit, I can't think. My brain's not working like that right now for some reason. But that hit it. Where did it hit at? Help me, somebody. Thailand and those areas. Asia, Malaysia. Anyway, it killed 250,000 people. And nobody sees that as a sign of the end times? Sure it is. Jesus said the seas and the waves would roar. And so all of these things are coming to pass, but guess what? You and I shouldn't be looking at that. We should be looking at our redemption. Hallelujah. How many know that how faith comes? Comes by hearing, and hearing by what? All right, how does fear come? It comes the same way, by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. See, not the Word of God. Thank you. It comes by hearing the word of the devil. How about that? Is that all right? You're not just supposed to look dumb. You're supposed to say, Pastor, I think you need to listen to this CD. So fear comes by hearing, right? Faith comes by hearing the Word. Fear comes by hearing the negative, right? Amen.
Yeah.
See, sometimes you can know too much about something.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying you're not informed, but sometimes, if the doctor tells you have something wrong with you, don't spend more time finding out about that than you do about what he said about healing.
Amen.
Right? Y'all still believe in healing?
Yes.
Well, I did, but somebody that believed in healing died. Well, everybody dies.
Yeah.
Eventually, right? Never let what happened to somebody else steal your faith, because you really don't know what happened to somebody else. You don't know their private life. You don't know the secret things. The Lord knows the secret things. Did you know that the guy who wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases," died at 70 years old from a burnout body? I can tell that some of you don't know that. His name was David. David died at 70 years old because he had just wiped his body out. But does that mean God doesn't heal all of our diseases? It's amazing to me. Sometimes I'll see things, well, they believed in healing and they died. Well, David wrote it and he died. So let's criticize David a little bit. That faith preacher, David. Heresy. Everybody dies of something sometime or another. Whether you know what I'm saying? I don't mean you have to die of a disease. But everybody dies at some point. No matter what they believe. And your body just gets old at some point. I mean, you can believe God and keep it strong and keep it young, but it's still getting older. If you don't believe, just look at some pictures from your... You want to get a laugh? Look at your high school pictures. Look at your senior pictures. That'll make you laugh. Somebody that we had done the ceremony for, oh gosh, it's been probably 40 years ago now, at least, 30-some plus, anyway, that we done a ceremony. They came up to me after a service, huh?
Marriage ceremony.
Yeah, Phyllis and I. and that married someone. They had the picture of that, you know, and it was like, I don't know, about 5 years ago or something. They came here for a special meeting 4 years ago. They were just attending our church. We know from back way back, and they showed me a picture of all four of us there. And I looked at that picture, and I looked up at them and said, you guys have gotten old. Phyllis and I, we haven't changed, you know. How many know we all change, right? It all changes. But so listen, don't let what, I don't know why I'm saying this, but don't let what happened to somebody else take your faith away from you. Because you don't really know. You don't know. That's between them and God. Amen. You know, and they may be saying right things, but thinking wrong things. You understand that? So I heard a story about one guy that he wanted to go to heaven. All his family wanted for him to believe God and be healed and stay. Of course, naturally he would. And so he's just saying, yeah, thank God. You know, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Thank God, Jesus is my healer. He's saying all the right things. And then, but he told somebody close to him, said, I don't mean any of it. He said, I want to go to heaven. He said, I'm just saying it because that's what they want to hear. I mean, you don't know. I mean, if somebody wants to go to heaven, they'll probably get to go to heaven, right? I mean, well, I want to go to heaven, but you know what I mean. You know, they've got something wrong with them and they don't want to receive healing. Man, I know of, I don't know them personally, I know the people, of a guy who's got a faith church, you know, and he preaches faith, he preaches healing. And his sister, I think it was his sister-in-law, died at 60-some years old of cancer. And she just told him, I don't want to be healed. I want to go to heaven. Well, God, see, we don't know, do we? So, anyway, back to this. Go down there in your Bible to verse 30, I think it's verse 34 in Luke chapter 21. Go to verse 34. Look what Jesus said. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, be weighed down with the word surfeiting. Now, not surfing, surfeiting. What is surfeiting? Well, a lot of people don't know what surfeiting means today because it's an old English word, but literally it means overdoing it, overindulgence. So you can overindulge on a lot of things. You can overindulge on food. Anybody ever done that? You can overindulge on social media. You can overindulge on TV. You can overindulge on listening to the radio, talk radio. Phyllis could always tell when I've overindulged on listening to talk radio. I don't listen to it hardly at all years now. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but she could always tell because I'd have a fighting spirit on me. Not to fight her, but to fight anybody who didn't believe like I believed. Like, and she'd say, you've been listening to talk radio, haven't you? Yeah, well, just for 5 hours, that's all. It's time to go get in your Bible. Listen to God. I mean, his word brings peace. Great peace have they that loves his law. Psalm 119, 165. So you have to watch what you intake because it's going to affect your peace. Now he said surfeiting, just overindulgence, anything. Then he said drunkenness. Hopefully we've got that one figured out. Drunkenness. That's not going to work, right? Cares of this life, just all the things, the natural things, the worries, all the things of life, day-to-day stuff, you can't let that overtake your heart. We have stuff we have to do, right? You got 5 kids, you got a busy life. You got 4 kids, you got a busy life. You got 3 kids, you got a busy life. You got 1 kid, you got a busy life. All right? But you don't have to let that get in your heart and overtake it, see? So what did he say? He said, so that day come upon you unawares. Well, what day is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the catching away of the church, see? Because he says, for as a snare will come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and that to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, if that's not a gospel scripture on the rapture, I don't know what is. He said, you get yourself in a place where you're ready. That you can escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. That's called rapture. That's called getting out of here. Amen. Somebody said, you're just an escapism. You got it right. I want to escape all that. Jesus said I could escape it. I don't escape my duties, but I want to escape that, right? Amen. So fear comes by hearing, just like faith comes by hearing. So you got to watch what you're hearing. If you're going to have peace, you got to watch what you're allowing yourself to hear. Now, we can't help but hear certain things. I understand that. But we're talking about, you got to make sure your hearing of the word is adequate, that it outweighs all that other stuff, that it tips the scales. And all that stuff the world you hear from the Lord is up here, but what you hear from God's down here. Because if you don't do that, you're robbing yourself of peace. One man said this. I thought this was good. He told his church, he said, if your intake of the news is more than your intake of your Bible, your pain is self-inflicted. You're hurting yourself. Doesn't mean we got to be ignorant, but it just means that can't be our focus. Have you ever sat around somebody that has a hobby and that's all they focus on? When you have lunch, what are we going to talk about? Their hobby. Why? Because that's what's coming out of them. It doesn't matter. A sponge, you're like a sponge, and a sponge will soak up whatever you put it in. Put it in water, it soaks up water. You put it in vinegar, it soaks up vinegar. Right? You know, whatever you put it in orange juice, it soaks up the orange juice. So it's whatever you put it in, it's going to soak it up. Our lives are that way. Whatever we put ourselves in, we're going to soak that up. And that's what's going to come out of our mouth. That's what we're going to think about. That's why people, Christians, even Christians, don't have peace, because even though they love the Lord and they're saved, they're allowing too much other stuff to get into their life. They're not watching their intake. Your body has to have the right intake, just naturally speaking, right? How many know you intake oxygen all the time? What happens if you quit? It's got to have certain things, right? You know, you take. So you intake, it's in taking stuff. It's in taking oxygen. And then you intake food, right? Right? How many know you're supposed to kind of intake the right kinds of food? Right? So if you don't have a balance, what happens? Your system gets out of balance. A young lady, she was in her 30s. I guess young. Just fainted in the bank one day. She just passed out in the bank, just fell over. And of course, they call an ambulance, like she have a heart attack or what happened, and they take her to the hospital, the emergency room. And the problem was she didn't have enough potassium in her system. So all she needed was a banana. All right? She didn't need the hospital, didn't need the ambulance. She just needed somebody's lunch. Amen. And I begin having some issues because of not eating. And I've told you about that, some things that were going on in my life because I would fast before Sunday morning service. I wouldn't eat. And I begin having some issues. I begin having some things go wrong. First time it happened to me, I thought, man, I'm leaving the planet. I'm going to heaven. And Phyllis and I were out getting ready to eat lunch, and we were at a restaurant, and I got up from the table to go to the bathroom because I was just feeling terrible. And, you know, you don't want to die in front of your wife. And so I get into the bathroom. I really did think I was going. I thought, man, I don't know what's happening, but I'm leaving. And I got into the bathroom, and when I got in the bathroom, I thought, this was dumb. Look at that floor. I don't want to fall on that. That was my thoughts. I don't want to fall there. I made my way back to the table, and when she saw me, she saw that something was really wrong. I was white. My shirt was soaked with sweat. I just really couldn't, you know, do much at all. I got back to the table. A nurse was there, thank God, came over and checked my vitals and then had them bring me some crackers. And they brought a bunch of crackers and orange juice, and I ate on those, and I got back to feeling pretty decent in a short time. And so that happened 3 or 4 times. And so I said something to Doc about it. And he said, what do you eat before you go preach? I said, nothing. He said, well, there's your problem. I said, Doc, I've been doing it for 40 years. He said, you're 40 years older. And I didn't come here and pay you to tell me I'm not a spring chicken any longer. He said, you're going to have to eat a little bit of something. And so I did what he said. I put some intake in my body. I've never had another issue. And that's probably been 3 or 4 years. Not another problem. It hadn't happened again. Why? I needed some intake. Amen. So I needed something. Well, you got to watch what you intake into your spiritual life, because it'll affect you. Now look at Romans 8. Romans 8. So we have to be really watchful that we don't allow all this negative stuff. And let me say something to you. You got to watch all this political stuff. And don't just let that take over your life. I'm not saying to be ignorant of it and don't know what's going on. That's not good either. But I'm just saying don't let that counterbalance or outweigh the Word of God. Romans 8, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what you put in your mind is going to determine whether you have death working or you have life and peace working. See? Look at Romans 14. Go there. Romans 14. I want to read this scripture to you. Romans 14, verse 17. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God, how many know, if we're functioning in the kingdom by kingdom principles, we should have peace in our life. It's when I lose my peace, just talking about me, when I lose my peace, it's because I've got out of the kingdom. What I mean by that, operating in a way outside of the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom has its own set of laws, its own set of rules, its own diagnosis. See, Pastor Mike talked about our identity Wednesday night. It was just God, because before the service, he was in the office, and then I started talking about our identity. That's why he said he thought I was going to preach his message, but it was just God. It was a night to talk about identity, who we are in Christ. See, Proverbs 17, I think it's verse 27, says a man of understanding is of a, the King James says, of an excellent spirit, or that word excellent really means calm or cool. You want to be cool? You want to be calm? You got to know, you got to have some understanding about who you are in Christ. Because you're going to hear all kinds of things that are contrary to that. How many know you're saved? Yeah. Why do you know you're saved? Because you have knowledge of God's Word. Yeah. Amen. Now, people can have an opinion about you. You know, they may not think you are. They may not like you. But you know who you are, right? How many, if God be for you, who can be against you? So you have to have this. See, you understand, when you have this knowledge of, look, here's who I am in Christ. This is what I've been made. Remember Pastor Mike talked about the In Him scriptures? Yeah. Brother Hagin has that little mini book called In Him. And it's just all it is just got the different In Him scriptures, in whom. Because it lets us, when it says in Christ, that means this is who I am now that I'm in Christ. What, we were in Adam. You understand that? And when Adam fell, we all went with him. But God made Adam was the first creation, but God made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yes. And so if you get in Christ, you get out of the old first creation, the old Adam, you get into the new creation with Jesus, and you quit identifying with Adam and the curse, you start identifying with Jesus and the blessing. Amen. Because I don't believe in preachers prospering, neither did the old Adam, but I'm in Christ. And God wants all His children blessed. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, that's okay. It won't bother you. What you don't believe won't bother you. But I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, don't worry about it. But you get hungry enough, you will. I have a cousin, second cousin. Her husband is, he was, he's probably retired by now. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He was a theologian in Bible college. And the particular Bible college that he is a theologian in, they believe that tongues has passed away. Yeah. And that's just, he's a good guy, loves the Lord. in a lot of respects, you know, he's a spiritual man. But I just have to be wrong in this area. And so, but his wife got so hungry for the Lord that one day she was doing the dishes, you know, looking out the window, and she was just talking to God and said, "Lord, I'll just tell you, I love you, Lord." You know, I don't know this exactly what she's saying, but she was, "I love you, Lord," and just worshiping God. She says, "I just want everything that you have for me, everything that you got." Sokola mansandari abagadeda mosheda baga. We don't do that in our church. But she asked God, "I want everything you got." He said, "Okay, I got something else." Her heart was hungry, right? And she opened herself up and she got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I can tell you one better than that. We have guys that used to preach for us at the Revival Center. And I'd name him because some of you would know him because he used to preach all over this area, but I'll leave his name out of it. But he was a good Baptist brother, and he got the sick in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, him and his wife, one Saturday evening, and they had a 5-year-old son, you know, and so they left him out at the bedroom. They went in the bedroom, and they're sick in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God filled them with the Holy Spirit. They begin speaking with tongues. He hears it. Well, you know, they pastor a church that doesn't believe in it. So they're like, "How are we going to tell our church? You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? You know, got to do it the right way or we destroy the church, blow the church up." That's not smart. So we got to do it the right way. Next Sunday morning, the little boy went around to all the adults in the church. He said, "Mom and Dad got them tongues last night." Thank God for kids. They tell you the truth. Smart, ugly? Yeah. They'll tell you. And so that's how their church found out about that, but he was such a reputable man and loved God and had been a blessing that they didn't throw him out. They just became, he said, "We're Baptocostals." That's what he told us. "We're Baptocostals." They came on board. And that happened a lot years ago with churches, you know. They came on board, you know. But we look here and it says in Romans 8:6, it said that if you're spiritually minded, you got life and peace. The kingdom in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So I have to keep myself in the kingdom, amen, operating in the kingdom if I'm going to have the peace and the joy, right? See, this is what God told Joshua. You know, how many of you know Joshua no doubt had heard this, the people talk about as they got ready to go back, as they got ready to go into the promised land. I'm sure he had people that were talking about, well, remember their giants. Remember the giants. Because, you know, they had already ran into that, right? And Joshua and Caleb's the only one had any faith to still go. And so I'm sure the ancestors of those unbelievers had heard about all this. So how many know it's one thing to confess things in church, it's another thing when you're out facing the problem head on. Right? See, it's one thing when we're all believers and we're all gathered together. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. But then you face it and you have to really live it out. That's two different things. So Joshua's getting ready to have to go live this out. So God said to him, he said, "Look, if you want to be successful, you meditate my word day and night." You're going to have to think about that. Because when you get over there, what the ancestors talked about, the giants, you're going to face them. Amen. And these were notorious men. I'm telling you. They were legendary. But God, hallelujah, if he's on your side, who can be against you, right? Amen. All right. Can we close? You give me permission to close. Ephesians 5. I have had people say, "No, don't do it." But that's always a blessing. That's once every leap year. Ephesians 5, go there. And I want to show you this, and some of these are scriptures we've been over, but you know, you gotta fight the warfare in your mind and what tries to get in your mind. You know, the Bible talks about, uses military terms, you know, pull down, throw down, bring into captivity. One of the things that helped me is I don't have to believe everything I think. I can just ignore it and just realize it's not truth, because the devil brings wrong thoughts to all of our minds, right? So you have to fight that fight. Paul said, think on good things, meditate on good things, think on those things. Only let that stuff in your life, kick the other out. Amen. You know, you get to meditating on something and it becomes reality to you, and then it starts to operate and work in your life. But look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And all the women said,
amen.
That was strong, wasn't it? Let's get another verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And all the men said,
amen.
That was weaker. It's like, some of you are like, I am not saying a word. I've got to live. All right, verse 26. He gave himself for it. Notice this, that he might sanctify it, set it apart, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, the word, Jesus said to his disciples, says, you're clean through the word I've spoken unto you. The word of God has a cleansing effect. Now, we live out in a fallen world. There's no way to escape it, okay? You can drive down the road and see things you don't want to see. You can be, you know, just people just are crazy today. They'll do goofy things. They'll take their clothes off. We were driving someplace one time with some friends of mine, and we were in a foreign country. One of the pastors said, don't look. I said, okay. He said, there's a woman walking down the road without any clothes on. Well, you know, you're gonna see things that are nutty. You're gonna have things. You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. That's going to happen. What are you going to do? You gotta wash that filth off of you with God's word, right? People that live out in the world and work out in the world, if you don't wash yourself with the word, that's eventually going to build up and you're going to begin to stink. You're going to begin to smell like the world. And Paul said we should smell like Christ. We should be the aroma of Christ instead of smelling like the world. And you know, people don't even know it. People, you know, it's like I've told you this story, and I'll close with this. Well, I was 7 months older than the Lord, and I got invited to, I went to this camp. It was a leadership training camp, and then we were also going to do workshops. We had like a kids camp, like it was like 600 kids. And so we had services of the night, but during the day we had workshops. And so they asked me to teach one of the workshops on the love of God. And so, I mean, I'm 7 months older than the Lord. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have been doing that, personally, I don't think. But I'd give myself to God totally. Thought, you know, as far as I knew, I'd give myself totally to God, you know. But I remember in that leadership training thing, we broke off and the leader of it said, well, let's just pray for one another before we go. So this guy's praying for me. And he prays, Lord, I pray that you get all the world out of him that's still in him. I was ready to slap that guy. Really? I'm 7 months in the Lord. I gave up Pabst Blue Ribbon. I gave up Colombian. All the drugs. And you're telling me I still got some of the world in. I'll teach you a thing or two. Which proved he was right. That there were still some areas of needing some sanctification. And he perceived that. Probably an older believer. He knew. He could perceive. I didn't realize that, but probably the way I talked tipped him off. You know, Mike, I'll go slap them or knock them on the head. He probably picked something up that I needed some help still, you know. It's like, I think this guy needs some more teaching. I'm teaching on the love of God, too, you know. But I'm still needing some help here. But anyway, that's the way it is in life. We pick up stuff out in the world. We don't mean to, but we pick up stuff. It's got to be washed off by the Word of God, Or we begin to think that's normal. Why do you think churches are accepting things today that they rejected 20 years ago? They stopped washing with the Word. You do that, it looks normal to you. But brother, when you get this book, it changes the way you see things. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.